vision.
Part of the community. The next idea.
Our infrastructure is our collective ability to say what we care about.
The story of James Robertson, the Detroit man who walked 21 miles every day to get from his Detroit home to his job in Rochester Hills, certainly drew worldwide attention. And it got a lot of people in Southeast Michigan talking about the woeful state of Michigan's existing transit infrastructure. But our partner in The Next Idea questions whether pouring big money into new public transit is really the answer. Jeff DeGraff is with the Ross School of Business at the University of Michigan. And Jeff, there are some very convincing arguments for, you know, big new public transportation that you go through a lot of those in your essay, such as?
Well, one of the big things is, of course, there's a social justice issue here. You know, is transportation available to people who need it to get back and forth to work, to get good food, to get health care? And that's a real concern. And I think in a civil society, you have to take those things very seriously. I think on the other side of it, there's an issue of, does this make economic sense? And in the essay, I look at some of these areas where we do have light rail and we do have some new novel ideas in how to increase ridership. And in most of those cases, they're not very successful, at least economically. Now, there are cases where they are, where there's a lot of density, like in the urban corridor in the East Coast, but that's mostly city-to-city rail, and it connects to the light rail within the cities. But where places are more separated and places are less densely populated, like some of the urban core up here in the northern Midwest, I'm not sure that makes sense economically.
So you point out in your essay for The Next Idea that major public transit infrastructure projects, they did actually help rejuvenate Oakland and Brooklyn, but you don't think that could be Detroit?
Well, I think there was a core of urban density in both of these particular areas. And both of them are adjacent to a high job growth area. So that's where part of the spillover came. So these areas were blighted at one time. They became gentrified simply because of the price of housing. But there are very few other examples of that.
So what's the answer for places like the Detroit area that don't have a lot to work with to start out with?
Well, I think there's kind of three big issues here that you have to deal with. The first one is simply the infrastructure that we have. What are we doing with it? And I think I'd start with the very basic issue of the roads. As you well know, this has become a political hot potato. Mm-hmm. Now, two of the three issues around roads are things that we can't control. We live in a very extreme environment, Michigan. Things get very hot and very cold. When water seeps into the asphalt and it expands into ice, we all know it cracks the roads. Same is true with concrete. So there's very little you can do around that. You have to maintain those roads probably a lot more than you do in other climates. Two, there's the second question, of course, of the state itself sits on 95% of all the surface freshwater in the United States. And if you've ever dug any deep hole in the state of Michigan, we're all living on this gray toothpaste, basically. And it's really not, great bedrock to build a road on. But the third one is a very interesting one, which is the state of Michigan load limit for over-the-road carriers is 164,000 pounds. Now, the national average is 80. So what you realize is we're over twice what the national average is. The next closest states, I think, are Wisconsin and Louisiana, which are around 100. So there's this big issue of, because of our history in the automobile industry and because of those special interests, you know, what we're putting on these roads is very, very detrimental to the surface street. So no matter what any scenario you come up with, the first thing you have to do, whether you're driving a bus or driving a car or whatever kind of service you have to fix the roads. So we have this first issue about, we have to maintain the very basic infrastructure that we have. It's like clean water. Roads are one of the things that you have to have in order to have a productive society. Mm-hmm. But having said that, one of the interesting challenges is we actually have a lot of the pieces to make this work. We have bus systems, we have rail systems, we have train systems, but there's a couple of problems.
Such as?
One, we haven't reinvested in them very much. A lot of those are antiquated and have been neglected for years. I know in Detroit recently they just bought 50 new buses, and that's quite a nice step in the right direction,
yeah.
Right? Yes, but we all know that there's quite a number of new buses that need to be added to that. And of course, the second piece that kind of goes with that is, are these systems synchronized?
And that's what we saw with, for example, Mr. Robertson having to get from Detroit to Rochester Hills, which has opted out. So it's not synchronized very much at all, is it?
It's an amazing thing. If you travel as much as I do, you go to Europe, I just came back from Beijing. Mm-hmm. You know, you get off the plane, you get on the train takes you to the city center where the bus station is. The bus station has buses that run on a regular basis. You can buy tickets to the next leg of your journey at any given place. They're cost effective. And these are considered just sort of part of the ebb and flow of how people move around. They're highly synchronized.
And you can tweak them as needed.
You can tweak them as needed. Yeah. And there are adjustments that are made more so like in Western Europe if you land in Amsterdam, et cetera, less so when you're in East Asia. But the notion is they are sensitive to the other upstream and downstream legs of transportation. This seems to me like an obvious thing that's relatively easy to do with low-level software and simply some mobile communication that you can connect these transportation systems. But of course, that would take a sort of a different view about how these things operate and a different view about what the role of the municipality is in managing this.
Well, with you point out in your essay, with the rise of ride-sharing services like Uber and Lyft, you kind of see a future where public transit could really be replaced altogether?
I think one of the wonderful things about technology is that when people in government don't make decisions, technology will make the decisions for them from the outside in. And one of the things that I see happening, and I think it's happening all over the place in Ann Arbor, is that places like Lyft and Uber are creating quite a large presence in this economy because they're younger people, they're more fluent in technology, peer-to-peer technology, and they're more cost sensitive. Mm-hmm. And the notion is they want things on demand. So one of the things that I think right off the bat is a real possibility, and you're seeing this in places like Los Angeles already happen, is that these cars are creating sort of a self-organized ride-sharing community. And they're bypassing the municipalities altogether.
Well, but, look at people like James Robertson and people. He at least had a job. But what about people who don't have a job, who are stuck in, let's say, in those urban areas in Detroit with no options and hopping on an expensive smartphone to check on an Uber or Lyft ride isn't an option for them?
I think there's a lot of in-between things you can do. So, for example, one of the things that schools and churches are very good at is organizing communities and organizing ride sharing. Why couldn't we involve them in this? Why couldn't we support some of those options? They seem to be much more cost effective than a lot of infrastructure spend, right? So one of the things is you make it available in those intermediate places so that Mr. Robertson can actually get a ride. And the second thing is more and more the issue is going to be who has access to these digital webs. Who has the technology to do this? And how do we make that cost effective for people? So maybe the issue about roads is moving from physical roads to these digital roads. And the digital roads, the good news, cost a lot less to build and require a lot less investment in the infrastructure.
So that leads to my next question. We have so many organizations and government officials and residents who are focusing on trying to find new public transit solutions for Southeast Michigan. So in your view, where's the best place for long-term investment?
I think I'd do three things right off the bat. Obviously, the roads have to be fixed under any scenario. This is the automobile state. For the car state, we got to be able to drive our cars. Two, I think the bus system has got to be reinvested in a lot of these areas. And I think we may need to support some of these interconnected routes between Rochester and Detroit and all of the adjacent areas. And three, scheduling technology needs to be updated, I think, in this state so that it can be a low-level app that basically synchronizes these systems like we see in Europe and like we see in East Asia. So I think there are three kind of very simple steps. I think they're a lot more cost-effective than building sort of large intercity rail systems. I don't know if you've been reading about the runaway train in California that they had an initiative for $9 billion to build a fast train between San Francisco and Los Angeles, and now it's well over $70 billion, and the return on investment is generational, and that's even the best case scenario. So I think there's a lot of danger in these huge public work projects. I'm a much bigger believer in fixing what we have now and synchronizing it and maybe allowing this new world of technology, the Ubers, the Lyfts, the handheld technologies, the scheduling rides in a peer-to-peer way, allowing them to also enter into the picture. Because quite frankly, I don't think the government is going to be able to regulate them one way or the other. I think it's inevitable that it's going to happen.
Jeff DeGraff is a professor at the Ross School of Business at the University of Michigan and, of course, is our partner in The Next Idea. You can find Jeff's essay at the Next Idea page at michiganradio.org and share your thoughts on whether or not Michigan ought to be investing in big new public transit. You can share them in the comments section underneath Jeff's essay or at Michigan Radio's Facebook page or, as always, on Twitter at Next Idea MI. As always, thank you so much, Jeff.
Thank you, Cynthia.